Open your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a wonderful psalm. It's been a psalm of the church down through the ages, and Christians have used this psalm in their hymnology. Many hymns have been drawn from this psalm. I think C.H. Spurgeon has said in regard to this psalm that a thousand pens couldn't describe its blessedness. And it's wonderfully true. As far as the interpretation goes, it's a psalm of David, and it's prophetic of the day when the future Jewish remnant will be forgiven of their sins and their transgressions, and they'll praise the Lord in the millennium. And we'll look at both of these two aspects, the application for us and also the prophetic interpretation. So if we look at verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And so we get two things. One, that he forgives us our iniquities, and also the second thing, he heals all our diseases. Now, we see this in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels in connection with his people Israel. You know, it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, he entered into his own city, and some people brought a man to him who was sick of the palsy. He couldn't walk. They brought him on a mat. And he says to the man who is sick with palsy, "Be of good cheer, son, thy sins be forgiven you." And, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, they criticized the Lord for this. Who can forgive sins? In fact, they don't verbally criticize him. They criticize him in their minds and in their hearts. And the Lord Jesus, perceiving this, says to them, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Arise and walk,' but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, then he said unto him who is sick of the palsy, 'Arise and take up thy bed and go into thy house.' And he arose and departed into his house. And then all the multitude saw it. They marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." And so we see with the Lord Jesus in all of his ministry on the earth, these signs and these wonders. But these signs and wonders were connected with the kingdom. We read that in Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 6, that they were evidence that the kingdom of God was near in the person of the king. And these are pictures or signs pointing to that millennial kingdom, when these won't be just signs and wonders, but they will be the natural course of things, that sickness will be put away, that sin will be put away. And we see this manifested in the life of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. He was the king who came to seek his people. And then we get another lovely verse a little further down, verse 7. "He made his known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel." You know, the children of Israel in the wilderness, they saw the acts of the Lord. But it says of Moses here, David writes of him, "He made his ways known unto Moses." The difference is this, is that Moses knew the Lord personally. Many of the children of Israel in the wilderness, they could recognize the Lord. They could see his miracles. They could see his acts. But of Moses, it says, he made known unto him his ways. The Lord made known unto Moses his ways. And that's a wonderful thing for us as well, that we may not just see what God has done in the world, but that we may know him. We may know his ways. We may know his counsels. We may know his will. And this is something for us to lay hold of as believers in this dispensation. And notice verse 10. It says, "He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Now, I just want to focus on that little word, "He has not dealt with us after our sins," because it's not that God has not dealt with sins and somehow has just ignored them or swept them under the carpet. That's not what the Bible teaches. When it says that he has not dealt with our sins, it means that he has not dealt with us after our sins. But he has dealt with them, and he dealt with them in the person of his Son, that all who believe in him may be justified. And this is what, of course, that we get in Romans again and again, that he might justify the ungodly, the one who believes in him. We get this in Romans chapter 3, where he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, that he is just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So justification means that he has dealt with sins, but he has dealt with them in a righteous way, in a way in which has glorified God by himself being the substitute, and that everyone who is a sinner who lays a hold of that comes into that righteousness, comes into that justification. So when we read verse 10, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Just always remember that. It's not that he didn't deal with them. He did deal with them, and he dealt with them in the person of his son. He just has not dealt with us about our sins by his marvelous grace. And so we get a similar thing in verse 12. And of course, this has a reference to the future day that Israel will confess just like in Isaiah 53. They'll confess that their sins have been forgiven through the Messiah. It says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Lovely verse. And you know, the Lord has said here, from the east, as far as from the west. As far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Well, you know, if you head in the easterly direction, you'll never hit the west. You'll always be going in an easterly direction. The same, on the other hand, if you head out in a westerly direction, if you move towards the west, you'll always be moving towards the west. It'll never meet the east. So the east and the west are always separate. It's sort of infinite. That's how far he has put our sins away from us, that the east and the west never really meet. And so verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him, for he knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. Now this is true for us. We've looked at it prophetically as far as the millennium and the people of Israel. We see that in the Gospels too, the signs and wonders connected with the Lord's ministry. But brothers and sisters, this is true for us. We've received the Lord Jesus by faith. We've been justified by him. And he pities us. He knows our frame. May you be encouraged by that, that he knows your frame. He knows the weakness that we find ourselves in. And then we'll drop down to verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. That's in the coming day. Now we see the Lord Jesus crowned with glory and honor at the right hand of God. All things have been put under his feet. Yet we see not all things yet put under his feet. He's there in position, but he's waiting for something. He's waiting first that his bride would be complete, the church would be complete, and then he'll take us up in the rapture and we'll be associated with him. Then we'll come with him at the end of the great tribulation. We'll be revealed in glory with him. And then he will rule and reign over the earth. He will establish his kingdom. And this is what verse 19 prophetically looks forward to. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And then we get this other little lovely word in verse 20 about the angels. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, I'll say more about the angels when we come to Psalm 104. But here, the exhortation is actually to the angels to bless the Lord. Now, they bless the Lord because of his strength. They excel in strength, but they get their strength from the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They're to bless the Lord because he is the Lord, and he's the mighty one. And any strength that they have is drawn from him. And the thing is that they praise him in this way, but not in the way that we praise him. We praise him because we are sinners saved by grace. These things the angels look into, Peter says. The angels don't know redemption. They don't know forgiveness. They don't know what it is to be saved. And our praise comes to him because we have been redeemed. But the angels are hearkening unto the voice of his word. They're his servants to obey his command. And then finally, it says in verse 21 and 22, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his servants, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's something for us today. May we bless the Lord with all our soul and bless his holy name. Amen.